Tell it, tell it, sing it, sing it, let the joy bells ring it, o'er and o'er evermore, tell and sing the news.
Welcome to the Pastor's Heart. Dr. Craig Bush is pastor of the Grace Baptist Church in Kearneysville, West Virginia. Dr. Bush has been preaching, counseling, and encouraging people since 1980. Let his 4+ decades of experience help you today. We pray the Lord will use this time to keep you encouraged in your spiritual life. Join us now as we dive into some practical thoughts and truths from God's Word.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Pastor's Heart broadcast. This is Pastor Craig Bush, your host, and I want to encourage you today with a thought from God's Word. In 1 Samuel 14, I'm going to read several verses and skip around the chapter just a hair and read a few more. Verses 4 through 7, between the passages by the which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sene. The forefront was the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised, that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Now down in verse 13, "And Jonathan climbed upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow." This is one of my favorite stories of the Bible. Jonathan was the king of, or the son of King Saul, and eventually would become the friend of King David. Of course, Jonathan was much older than David. Jonathan was probably 20 to maybe as much as 30 years older than Jonathan. But Jonathan was a loyal man. While the king sits miles away, safely protected, Jonathan leads a charge in an uphill battle. The Philistines call down to the Israelites to come up and fight, and Jonathan rallies the troops, and he tells his armor bearer, "Come on, boy, let's go." This is not normal, because the armor bearer was to go first. Jonathan said, "You come after me." Jonathan tells his armor bearer, "I'm going to go first, and you can clean up what comes behind." They begin an uphill fight, much like there would have been on the beaches of Normandy, probably. Of course, maybe not to that level of seriousness, but in just a half-acre field, they killed 20 foreign soldiers. Jonathan shows not only great patriotism to his country, but also great leadership to his follower. Much is said about how a follower is to follow, but honestly, there's not as much said about how a leader and a follower should get along. We've created a huge divide in our country of followers and leaders. Yes, there is a difference in position, but followers and leaders are supposed to get along. And I want to show you from God's Word what God says about leaders and followers getting along. Now, number one, the leader should give the same loyalty to the follower that he expects from the follower. Loyalty is a two-way street. It starts at the top and goes down. It doesn't start from bottom up. 1 Corinthians 10:13, 1 John 1:9. God is loyal to man in spite of our sin against him. Romans 5:8, Romans 5:17 through 21. And leaders need to express loyalty to followers as much as leaders expect followers to express loyalty to them. A leader who talks bad about a follower and destroys his follower is just destroying his own leadership. Leaders need to show the same respect, the same loyalty, the same kindness as they expect to be treated with. In my ministry, I work very hard at making sure everybody understands their role, but nobody's more important than anybody else. We're all the same. Number two, leaders should accept followers as an equal as far as a human being. Not in position, but as a person. You know, no one person is a greater person than another. We all have a different position to fill, but that doesn't mean I'm a better person because of a higher position. The art of following is as important as the art of leading. No leader should look down on a follower. You say, why? Because they're no less a human than you are. All of us followers are the potential leaders. Number three, all of us should purposely follow in some area. Do you know, I believe leaders ought to put themselves in submission and be a follower in some area of life at all times. This is why sometimes good businessmen don't do well as deacons and board members in churches. They won't submit and follow. They want to lead. Number four, the leader should try to learn the needs of each follower. I believe that a leader has a responsibility to help take care of the followers. It's not just the follower's job to take care of the needs of the leader. The leader's to look out for the follower. Followers are not to be slaves. They're not mules to be ordered about to do whatever the leader desires. A wise leader will do his best to meet every possible need of the follower. By the way, that creates a desire in the follower, more desire to follow. Number five, the leader should get ideas from the follower. I'm constantly asking those who work with me for ideas. A good leader doesn't care who gets the credit for the idea. He just wants something that's a good idea to work. A good leader may only use one part of an idea, but it may open up great potential for greater ideas. Number six, the leader should give strength to the followers. As followers obey and produce, it helps the leader succeed. As the leader succeeds, they should get stronger, but so should the follower. There shouldn't be a distance put between the leader and the follower. The leader needs to bring the follower with them. This is why Henry Ford started the profit sharing with the Ford Motor Company. He had more money than he could ever need, so he started making it to where if they produced a certain amount every year, that they would get part of the profit back to every employee of the company. Number seven, the leader should be servant to the follower. A leader should serve his followers because it is his job. Jesus said the greatest would be the servant. A leader serves. When my men have prayer breakfast, I'm constantly serving them coffee or getting their dirty dishes and putting them away. Same thing with a church picnic or whatever. Say, why? Because I believe that it's my job to serve the people. I'm not the one to be sitting there being served. You know, no follower has a right to demand that a leader do any of this. But I do believe that a wise leader will serve. I do believe that a wise leader will follow these points. Leaders, let's not allow our pride and our success and our knowledge get ahead of us. How about we bring future generations along with our leadership? You know, it amazes me. The distance in leadership and followership in America today is because we have a wrong concept of it. Let's have a great day today, and let's give God a great day. From the Pastor's Heart, this is Pastor Craig Bush.
Thank you for listening to the Pastor's Heart. We hope this broadcast has been a help to you. If you would like to hear more of Dr. Bush's messages or learn more about Grace Baptist Church, visit gracebaptistwv.com. That's gracebaptistwv.com. Let's go out and change eternity today.
Tell and sing the news.